Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Working Experience Podcast. We've created a new audio series, the Working Experience Masterclass, focused on advice to master skill, improve your life, and conquer work. Each podcast is short, roughly 10 minutes of actionable advice to push you forward in the game of life. Are you ready to hustle to an enlightened full life? Then buckle up and let the value pour into your ears.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
that. Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Man, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Working Experience Podcast. This is Maddie K, rolling solo once again, because, John's a busy man, and frankly, I just don't think he likes engaging with me anymore. It can get a little trying. I get my intellect moves so fast that it can really exhaust people. Just taking a little sip of coffee there. All right, so this is about dressing for the office. There's this push and pull that's been going on for a while now about, are people coming back to the office? Are they not coming back to the office? Are they going to come back to the office 2 days a week or 3 days a week or 1 day a week? Or are they never going to show their faces in the office? If they do, what are they going to wear? Office fashion trends have, like fashion trends in wider society, they are cyclical. For a long time, for men, it was the suit, the tie, the white shirt, you know, the very conservative kind of IBM button-down look. That's just what you wore. And then fashion became more individualized. Most of my references are to male fashion, because obviously I don't know that much about women's fashion in general, nor for what to wear to an office. I guess I would reference Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, that kind of thing. I guess those are the power suits. Nancy Pelosi, for example. And then sometimes things would get more complicated. Like, the look became more casual, but people wanted to still exude power. So you had watches, you had pens, you had accessories. You didn't necessarily have the Burberry tie anymore, you know, the power tie. You had a certain type of maybe kerchief in your pocket, whatever they call that, in the breast pocket. I think it's just a lot easier when it's the white shirt, the tie, the shoes. You know, for a guy, it's almost just like slapping on a uniform. There are certain things you never go wrong with. You know, white shirt, tie, you know, in general, that's usually the acceptable professional, you know, look. Now, if you're working in a creative industry, if you're in production, you know, if you're in the entertainment industry, it's different. You wouldn't show up looking like you were going to work on Wall Street. The newest trend is called power casual. And it says here, this is from the New York Times, workwear reflects how people feel about their jobs and the economy as a whole. So it makes sense that dressing for the office is all over the place. So it seems like there is no one trend. I mean, I guess if you're showing up in sweatpants, that'd send a pretty powerful message. It would be interesting to see like one person in their pajama bottoms next to somebody who's in an Armani suit. I don't know if it's all over the place like that. I don't know if offices can impose dress codes these days, but it gets very complicated. You know, again, when I dress for work, I mean, I'm in education, but I still try to keep it together a little bit. You know, most days of the week, shirt, tie, although it's a lot warmer out now, so I've kind of dispensed with that. again, it's easier when it's just kind of a uniform that you put on. You know, you have five white shirts, you have, you know, your set of ties, and or for women, they have their five outfits that they rotate around. Now it's a lot different. There's something called work leisure. Heels are dropping lower or disappearing. Okay, so that's one thing that's happening. Pants are getting elasticized. That's because we've all gained weight. That's not good. That's not good when your pants have to have an elastic. You know, I don't have a six-pack or anything like that, but man, I don't want to get into that realm. Silicon Valley executives are throwing graphic t-shirts under blazers to smuggle a version of self-expression into a board meeting. That's not a good look either. I mean, you know, if you're earning millions of dollars a year, I guess you can wear a clown suit if you want to. But I've never liked the like the suit with sneakers. That's not a good look. The t-shirt with the blazer, I just can't really get behind that. These are work clothing. That's the marketing speak term, work clothing. But again, it's just all over the place, right? Retailers that once trafficked in solidly reliable dresses are scrambling to cater to new demands of the hybrid work week. They want to tempt a dazed customer base that is returning to offices and in-person meetings with trends like the casualization of the lower half. I guess that means what you wear pants-wise. And fabrications that look like 2019-era professional garb while offering secret comfort, like spandex. Oh my. The thought that your coworkers squeezed into some spandex under that outfit. Oh man, that's a little unsettling. I don't know how that jibes with the elasticized pants. I don't know. Boy, talk about all over the place. In fact, the retail industry has so fully embraced softer and stretchier styles that some professionals say they have had to turn to used clothing sites to find appropriately formal clothing for law firms and government jobs. That's interesting. Yeah, law firms, I think they don't want you showing up with the t-shirt and the blazer. You can't go into court looking like that. And honestly, if I went to see my lawyer or something and they were sitting there with a flash t-shirt under a blazer, man, I don't know. In government, you know, I have relatives who work in government. They certainly don't wear suits and ties, at least not one of them. So I'm not really sure how that even applies. Quote here from Sarah LaFleur, chief executive of M.M. LaFleur, a women's clothing brand that is trying to be known for more than office apparel. There's very little separation now between where you work and where you live. We're seeing the same trend happening in clothing. The shift isn't just a matter of taste. It has ramifications for mass apparel, a significant segment of the economy, and the physical face of retail, which is the second biggest private employer in the United States. Wow. Revenue from the women's apparel in the United States was $132.7 billion in 2021, up 7% from 2019, while sales of men's apparel rose 11% from 2019 to $76.5 billion, according to data from the NPD Group, a market research firm. I thought sales of clothes would have gone down because people weren't really leaving their homes, but maybe they had to buy bigger clothes because everybody was packing on the pounds. As more of that revenue shifts into denim, sneakers, and the like, particularly for women, retailers must keep pace. Already, NPD found that dress footwear sales declined 34% last year from 2019, while men's tailored clothing for the 12 months that ended in February was down 20% from 2 years earlier. Mass chains like Banana Republic and J. Crew have been shrinking their store counts while adjusting their assortments. Well, that's interesting. I thought about getting a tailored suit, you know, a handmade suit, like made from whole cloth. I think it runs about anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000. I mean, you can pay up to like $10,000 depending on what kind of fabric. I'm not sure where I would wear it. Maybe to a wedding or something like that. Meanwhile, Lululemon now has annual sales that exceed the Gap and Banana Republic brands combined and aims to double that in the next 5 years. Lululemon and Athleta, which is owned by Gap Incorporated, both promote work clothes on their websites. Customers are willing to pay for comfort. Gap said on a September call that across its brands, the average unit retail price, a measure of what a garment sells for, was $12 at Old Navy, $40 at Banana Republic, and $60 at Athleta. I don't really know what Lululemon and Athleta are. Let me take a quick look here. Monica, you can always edit this out. Lululemon. Oh, I guess it's a clothing store. Yes, it appears to be. Oh, athletic apparel. I see. So it seems that athletic apparel sales have gone way up because people want to be comfortable. Which, again, none of this really jibes. You know, everybody supposedly gained, well, I mean, in America, we're rather plus-sized anyway. And this only increased during the pandemic. And then I see things like spandex coming in, but also elasticized clothes. And now athletic gear. But apparently people are wearing athletic gear just to be comfortable, not to actually exercise. Ugh. Boy, what a country we live in. We just can't seem to hit a stride here, you know? It's all over the place. Let's see. $60 for athletic gear. That's a lot. $12 at Old Navy. That's pretty good. How people dress for work can be a reflection of the labor market. Economic downturns like the collapse of the dot-com boom or the 2008 financial crisis had often prompted returns to dressier clothing as a form of risk aversion. People want to show the boss they're making an effort. In the current climate, when the unemployment rate has fallen to the lowest level since the pandemic took hold, employees might think, my employer is lucky to have me, so why should I wear pants that zip? There's that can-do attitude. I mean, I would also argue, you know, I'm not a fashion plate, but like, just for your own mental health, like not wearing sweatpants everywhere, wearing shoes once in a while, it puts you in the proper frame of mind, I would say. I mean, again, if you're a billionaire, you can dress however you want. And I guess when the job market is really tight, people will fancy it up to, as they say, show their boss they're making an effort. If they don't have to do that, I guess they just figure, or, you know, you figure, look, if I'm good enough at my job that I'm so valuable around here, I could come in a Speedo and they would still have to keep me on. Well, that's one thing. But when it tightens up, it's like, you know, the employer has more leverage to say, hey, clean this up. But it's not all about the employer. It's also about how you feel about what you do. Maybe not everybody makes that connection. I don't know. But I do kind of feel like you know, I remember this one writer, he would get in a suit and a tie. It still does, I think, and go to his office, and people would kind of, I think it's actually Robert Caro who wrote the Lyndon Johnson books, which are approaching 6 volumes now, I think. Every day he got dressed up in a shirt and a tie and a blazer, and he would go to a workplace. He had a little office, and you know, a writer, you would think, can just kind of lounge around at home, but for him, it's work. You know, he goes and that's his work, his writing. And dressing in the shirt and the tie put him in the right frame of mind. So, some employees are thinking, I will dress whatever way I want, and if my employer says anything about it, I can just quit. Additionally, many have conflicted feelings around in-person work. Future Forum, a research group backed by Slack, recently found that 34% of office workers were physically back full-time and that work-related stress and anxiety were at the worst level since the group began surveying 10,000 office workers in the summer of 2020. That's interesting. What's everybody so stressed about? The pandemic caused so much psychological distress for Americans that the last thing bosses want to pay attention to is whether an employee's clothing is appropriate for work, said Jashi Young, a professor of fashion and apparel studies at the University of Delaware. People are also endorsing more casual looks for their employees so that they feel more content and happy. So, there have been radical swings in work attire through COVID as people were dressing for the keyboard up, as we like to say. And now as they return to the office, there's a really exciting enthusiasm about head-to-toe dressing again, said Miss Jensen of Nordstrom's. So, folks, we're going to have to start thinking about how we dress, and we're going to have to think about what's on the bottom as well as what's on the top. And I would just say wear pants with a zipper. All right, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll be back at you real soon.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media. If you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.